Hello, I'm Heather Kelly. I'm an assistant professor at University of Tennessee. I also have a 70% extension, 30% research appointment. Also a new professor there, just been there about over 2 years now. And I'm presenting on soybean cultivars and fungicide responses to frog eye leaf spot. This is 10 years of field data. Similarly, the majority of this data was my predecessor, Melvin Newman. He had a 100% extension appointment, so this data had only been published during winter meetings or for yearly publications for farmers to actually utilize. So now I'm going to utilize it to do some presentations on it as well as publish. A little background on the disease: frog eye leaf spot is caused by a fungal pathogen, Cercospora sojina. It's first reported in 1924 in South Carolina. It develops very favorably in wet, hot conditions that we do have in West Tennessee, which is where over 85% of our soybeans are produced. Symptoms develop during the reproductive growth stages. The pictures here, they're small lesions that develop. They have a darker margin around the outside. On the underside of the leaf is where you can see sporulation occurring. Yield loss due to this disease is reducing the photosynthetic area and rate, as well as can cause premature defoliation. So just again to illustrate the impact that we have seen in West Tennessee on yield for frog eye leaf spot. So this is across four different locations in Tennessee in 2013 on a highly susceptible soybean cultivar. And as you see, as the on the x-axis, as disease severity increases, the actual yield in bushels per acre decreases. So the ways of managing frog eye leaf spot using resistant cultivars. Right now there's three resistant genes that have been identified, are CS1, 2, and 3, with that last one being the only known gene that confers resistance across all different races or strains of frog eye leaf spot. And then, of course, foliar fungicides. Although in 2010, the QOI class or strobilurin class of fungicides, we have found resistance to this class in the pathogen, not only in Tennessee, but across multiple other states. And these reports continue to grow and expand. So this is something that we're aware of and that my program is actually focusing a lot of its research on. So the research that was conducted over the 10 years was conducted at Milan, one of the research and education centers, again located in West Tennessee, where the star is located on the image here. This has been described as a honey hole for disease by my predecessor as well as many others. He did a really great job in keeping this area in continuous soybean and no-till, as well as it's under irrigation. Not only that, but while the varieties take up about one-fourth of the research plot area, the rest of the area we also plant in a very highly susceptible soybean variety and conduct further fungicide tests. So there's always a lot of pressure in there. So I do want to point that out. This isn't necessarily realistic of hopefully what a farmer would see unless they are in continuous soybean and no-till under irrigation for multiple years. But this is a very good situation to really test the variability in soybean cultivars and their susceptibility, as well as different fungicides. So the yearly variety trials, these are entries that actually go into our county standardized trials. Companies actually pay a small fee and provide us seed. So these same cultivars are planted in strip trials across different counties in West Tennessee. So we can also pair that data with then the data that we then use or generate. So within the actual disease trials that we conduct on these varieties are in complete randomized block, split plot design. They're four row plots, running 25 feet long, with 3 to 4 replicates. And fungicide applications are at R3, which is pod development, and these are full season soybeans planted in late April to mid-May, depending on the season. And so this image here is of the area of about half of the area that we conduct soybean research, and particularly just for diseases. So for the majority of the years, 2003 through 2012, what we call the Melvin rating scale was used for frog eye leaf spot severity, a 0 through 10 scale, where approximately 1 was about 10% leaf area affected, 2, 20% leaf area affected, and so on. Starting in 2013 and moving forward, we're using a percent leaf area affected, which is just a 0 to 100% scale. So the scale was converted into the percentage to analyze data. So yield is collected from each two rows, the two rows that were treated with a fungicide at R3 and the two rows that were not treated with a fungicide. And the fungicide that was used did change over the years. Predominantly Headline, which is Paraclostrobin, a QOI fungicide, was used the majority of the years until about 2009 or 2010. It switched over to Headline plus TopGuard, which is a DMI or triazole fungicide, because of the resistance issues that were starting to develop. And in the past couple years, Quadris Top, a premix combination fungicide, again a strobilurin or QOI plus a DMI triazole, has been used. And so just a general outline of the data, the cultivars. So we did from 2003 through 2008, we were planting on 36-inch rows. A new planter was acquired in 2009. It changed to 30-inch rows. Similarly, replicates, up to 3 replicates until 2010. We were able to switch over to 4 replicates. And the number of cultivars in each maturity group 3, 4, and 5. As you can see, the majority of the cultivars we get in our cultivar trial are maturity group 4s. This includes early and late 4s. That is the majority of the maturity group that is planted in West Tennessee. There are some interest in 3s, but as you can see, the trend is less and less 3s have been submitted to the county trials, as they are starting to lose a little favor, but there are definitely still plantings of them. But in 2014, there were actually no maturity group 3 entries. And then the 5s are also there, again, of interest, but not as much as the maturity group 4s. So in total, 711 cultivars were evaluated. This was 600 actual different cultivars, and then 111 cultivars were actually evaluated multiple years. And so a general analysis of the 10-year data, dividing it by maturity group, 3, 4, or 5. In the orange bars, you have whether you have the severity of disease, and in the purple bars you have the yield. So the lighter yellow bar indicates the treated amount in the treated plots with fungicide at R3, the amount of disease that was present. The darker orange bar represents the amount of disease in an untreated. So across each maturity group, we always saw a reduction in disease due to a foliar fungicide application. Similarly, in the yield, the darker bar is the non-treated yield, and the lighter purple bar is the treated yield. And again, across each maturity group, we always saw an increase in yield due to that fungicide application. And then we wanted to look also just to say, you know, on a percentage-wise, what's the control we're getting with a fungicide application? And very consistently across all 3 maturity groups, which, you know, the application at R3 actually will go out at different times depending on the maturity group because they mature at a different rate, and the fungicide always went out at reproductive growth stage R3, pod development. But we're getting right around just under 70% control, and so we're reducing the disease by 70% in these cultivars. And then again, looking at yield gain as a percentage of that potential cultivar, looking at what it could make, the maturity group 3s are actually looking at the higher of the 3 at 13% yield gain from a fungicide application. And that may be also because maturity group 3, sometimes they do have to sit in the field a little bit longer until we get to harvest them. So some of the fungicide benefit in those early maturing groups, so it might actually help retain seed quality a little bit, as well as a little bit of the stability of the plots compared to untreated plots in maturity group 3s. But still, even in the 4s and the 5s, seeing 9 and 11% gain from a fungicide application. And then looking to say, well, really, what does it mean, the susceptibility of a cultivar? As a plant pathologist, we kind of understand, well, a higher susceptibility cultivar obviously should benefit more from a fungicide application in protecting yield. And so this is a graph where we plotted the percent frog eye leaf spot that developed in the non-treated plot, so it's a measure of the susceptibility of that cultivar on the x-axis. On the y-axis is the change in yield between the treated and untreated plots. So it's kind of the yield, it is the yield saved in bushels per acre. And so as you see, as you go from left to right and the susceptibility increases, the cultivar becomes more susceptible or is more susceptible to frog eye leaf spot, you see a greater, you see an increase in the yield that could be saved from a fungicide application, as expected. And so knowing that there is this difference when you're moving from a low susceptibility or resistant cultivar up to a high susceptibility cultivar, we then want to say, well, let's see if we can kind of categorize the cultivars in these different susceptibility groups. And so we have a highly resistant group, resistant, susceptible, and then highly susceptible. And you can see the majority of the cultivars fall within that resistant or susceptible range, that middle range. And the average disease control, again, what was interesting was across, no matter the susceptibility of the cultivar, you still are getting the same amount of disease control, which is good, is that each of these years the fungicide that was being put out was being effective. But to still understand that that means in a highly resistant cultivar, you know, you're really just reducing severity from a 3% down to a 1%. But that's still close to 70% control, but obviously then your average yield saved in percent is the lowest also, 8%. But there still is a percent gain there. Again, though, this is just looking at the frog eye leaf spot data. We also have other data from each year of different other foliar diseases, including Septoria brown spot and Cercospora leaf blight, that could have also impacted yield in some of these results. But of course, as you move forward into the highly susceptible cultivars, you see a larger decrease in disease severity and a higher increase in yield that can be saved due to a fungicide application. And then something that this data can be utilized for, looking at the yearly average frog eye leaf spot across the variety trials, and kind of see this trend of decreasing disease severity. Well, this isn't due to the disease being less severe. 2013 was one of the most severe situations we saw in this field. But it's actually a trend that the cultivars that are coming out are having better resistance to this disease. It has been recognized that, you know, in West Tennessee, this is our number one foliar pathogen and disease in soybean. And so the breeders have done a great job, and the companies, in making sure the majority of the cultivars coming out do have some type of resistance. And so with that, some of the data will be continuing, or utilization of the data will continue to do. Of course, we'll be publishing this research. We're developing an online searchable cultivar database. Although a lot of the cultivars that were tested are no longer on the market, sometimes I still have a lot of people asking about certain cultivars, and the only place I can find information on them are from these previous trials. We'll continue to analyze more data, incorporating weather data and the other disease data. And then we're also incorporating now into this, as we continue this study, building in an additional location that's been regularly rotated, that's more low to moderate disease pressure location, to be more representative of what a farmer's field would be like, to compare the two. With that, I'd like to thank those who have contributed to this research, and if I have any time left, I'd be happy to take any questions.